Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're off and running. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick. Wait a minute. Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli are actually here this week.
We are.
What's up, guys? It's a miracle.
We had to take a break.
The Christmas miracle.
Jeff had a planned break. I had a little bit of a unscheduled issue come up that I had to deal with last Thursday night.
You saw.
Jeez. Yes. Yeah. So we'll just keep it at that.
I'm glad you guys are back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Wow. Well, kind of, sort of, not really.
Yeah, I was about to say, hearing about the Alaska excursion.
I'd rather be in Alaska with Jeff right now.
I think we all look like we've been to Alaska. We all have beards now.
I know. I had a reason to grow one. Tony kind of did.
I was kind of just being lazy. Yeah, and then
no, I'm just being
you,
lazy.
You, though,
too.
On the other hand, beard's not good for you.
You don't like it?
No.
I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, I'm doing all I can to cover this up.
You know? If you keep going, you'll have more hair on your face than on your head.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? I don't have hair in places I need it. I've got too much hair in places that I don't need it.
Yeah.
So that's how it happens
the way it
sometimes.
Works.
But it is good to be back. Not much happened this week, but the week before a lot was going on with all the training mini camps and everything else like that.
Yeah, it is.
Quiet right now.
Tumbleweeds on the other side of the building over here.
Yeah, when you pull in, let's say, 4 o'clock, I say I pulled in here, 4:30, something like that.
No one's here.
And, you know, there's kind of different parking areas for Jaguars people. You know, you got the office side parks over here, and then you've got a kind of a corral where the players and the coaches and certain executive members of the Jaguar staff park at. There was not a whole lot of cars in the corrals, I can tell you that.
It's the time of year.
Yeah, which, you know what?
5 weeks.
Look, as much as these coaches have worked, you know, when you put together – you know, a new staff and you're organizationally, you know, getting things right. I mean, these guys have worked their butts off from the time that, you know, they made the change to where they started assembling staff and everything. I mean, these guys have been grinding. And so if anybody deserves some time off, it would be this staff. And all the staffs in the National Football League, for that matter, because the ones, especially when they get a new staff, the amount of time that they work is crazy.
Well, you better get it off now because coming here soon. There is no time off.
Well, I think it's
7 days a week. So, I don't care if it's new staff, old staff, whatever staff. I think your point's exactly right, Jeff. When you are a coach in this league, this 5 weeks.
It's what you got.
Don't show up. Don't call.
Nope.
Don't be around. I wouldn't even pick up the playbook. Don't think about it. Don't read Pro Football Talk. Don't read ESPN. Don't even think about anything to do with football because coming up here, you know, July 26th, 27th, right around there, camp starts. And from that point to hopefully the Super Bowl,
forget it.
Every team's goal is you're done.
And I think the one part I think that a lot of people kind of probably don't fully understand or don't appreciate is how much time that these guys, staff, spend away from their family. You know, I mean, even in the off season, I mean, these guys were grinding 6 days a week.
That's right, yeah.
Now, that's not normal.
Which is not normal, but, you know, it's you know, that's just kind of how some coaches do it. They want to grind and get the extra time in. And so, I mean, this staff grinded. So, you know, it's time for them to spend time with family because, you know, once things get rolling in July, you know, what is it, report date for quarterbacks is the 21st, I think.
Something like that.
You know, rookies are in before that. So the coaches are going to be in before that. So, you know, second week, probably the end of the second week, you know, middle part of the second week of July, once these guys come back, I mean, they're pretty much done until the end of the season, whenever that is.
Not pretty much. They are done.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
bye a week, maybe a couple of days.
Coach, you might get the weekend off on bye a week, maybe, depending on the staff.
I mean, most coaches, if you think about it, you know, on a Monday is game plan. You know, review, game plan, 11 o'clock midnight. Tuesday, same thing.
Well, by the way, it's 7:30 a.m. start, 8 o'clock start right around
sometimes
there.
Earlier start.
To midnight.
Yeah, so it's midnight, basically, first Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday might be, 8, 9 o'clock.
No, 11, I mean.
For some guys, 8, 9 o'clock.
But Thursday.
Some staffs.
Yeah, Thursday you might get home to say goodnight to the kids.
Maybe. Friday you do.
Yeah.
You know, Friday they get out of the building at, you know, 1, 2 o'clock. And then Saturday, if it's a home game, you get to spend a little bit of time with your family on Saturday, but then Saturday night, you know, you're in a hotel, you got meetings, and if you're on the road, you're gone. You know, and that's their schedule. You know, so I appreciate the sacrifices that they make, and it takes a very strong family bond for some of those guys to be able to work through that. It's not easy.
All right. After OTAs, off-season program, mandatory minicamp, that's all behind us in the rear view now for you guys. What is the greatest concern? I know what's going to happen. What's coming out of your mouth, Tony? What's the greatest concern for this football team besides number five and how he plays?
I can't say number five.
No, I just said no. I knew that you were going.
That was my comment.
Well, that was mine, too. I mean, that's what it is.
Beyond that, is there any personnel concerns for you at this point? Or is it too early to tell all that stuff?
Well, I still think offensively, I mean, you take even Blake away. I don't think any of the receivers – I mean, Marquise had a nice year last year, kind of bounced back, but none of the receivers were dominant last year, I would say. So you're looking for A-Rob to come back after –
goes back to the quarterback a little bit.
Is that could be quarterback? You got a rookie running back that you're going to count on being your bell cow. How does that play out? And
the biggest question is
the offensive line, though. I mean, but overall, it's offense. I mean, I look at this offense. Not that the defense has arrived, but it was a good defense last year. Not as a lot is going to change. I know some of the personnel names we're going to call the defensive end instead of Leo and a Sam instead of Otto, but it's not going to be major.
A lot of the players are different.
Yeah, upgrades though.
Yeah,
and so
you think?
Clayce Campbell's a better player than. Then who did we have last year, your favorite player? I've already forgotten his name.
Audric,
yeah. Clayce Campbell's a better player. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So, Boye is a better player at corner. I mean, so you think that defense is going to be fine or at least as good as last year. For me, it's 100%. I can't say number five, so I'll stay away from number five. It's all about the offense. Mm-hmm. And with the offense, it's the offensive line if you're not talking about number five.
And see, one of the concerns that I have – kind of leading into this dead period that we call, you look at the secondary. Neither safety has practiced together. Jalen Ramsey just had a core muscle surgery.
That's right.
And A.J. Boye missed some time early on in the OTAs. So you have a secondary that hasn't
been together.
Haven't spent any time together. You know, and yeah, you've upgraded it and supposedly made it better because you spent money in free agency for the last 2 years for your safety positions and obviously in free agency this year for Boye and drafting Jalen Ramsey, but they've got no time together. No time together whatsoever. You know, so that is a question mark leading into training camp. Who's going to be available at the start of training camp? And then as we watch training camp kind of proceed, the big question mark without injury question is the switch from Paul Posluszny to Sam and Miles Jack to the Mike linebacking position. How will that work out? And you think it might work out pretty good, but when you think certain things and you expect them to do as what you want them to do, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
So I think those are all questions and things we'll be looking at. I agree with you, Jeff. But if you were listing your concerns, you're right. The secondary hasn't played together. I have no doubt that Jalen Ramsey is going to be ready opening day. Tashaun Gibson, Barry Church, veteran guys. They've done it before. I think they'll be the same opening day as they would have been if they'd done OTAs, whatever that is.
You hope?
Boye is a good player. I think he'll be fine. I'm not saying it's not something we'll watch for during training camp. I think you're exactly right. I think watching Miles Jack, that's one of the big stories. I mean, how does that transition work? But concerns.
Concerns.
Wouldn't you list the offense ahead of those concerns?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
point. No doubt.
I mean, those are questions. Those are great camp stories. And Jeff's exactly right. The secondary not playing together, how do they come off injuries? Veterans, you know, Barry Church, you know, what do they give you? Miles Jack. Great stories. Your point about Clayce Campbell and some of the new guys up front, really want to see how that all meshes together. Those are stories. Concerns? This is an offense that couldn't get out of its own way last year. Didn't make major upgrades. Mm-hmm. In free agency.
They traded for Albert. That's not free agency.
Right.
But still.
Did not make major upgrades in free agency. Would you?
I would say that's accurate, Tony.
That's accurate.
Okay. You do have, you would hope, an upgrade at running back. I mean, Leonard Fournette, we all agree, best back. Outside of that, I mean, Cam Robinson, rookie guy. I like that move. We all like it. But there's a lot of concerns offensively. And I know we're not allowed to talk about number five, but he leads the way on that offense. I want to see what we got.
And here's the other thing is that, you know, typically at this time of year, we've watched a lot of practices. We really haven't seen a lot of practices this year because of the change in the policy, and understandably so. That's the way that Tom Coughlin, Doug Marone want to run things, limited media access. But, you know, once you get into the preseason, you know, you've got 10 open practices, and then two of them are going to be big ones against two teams, the Bucs and then the Patriots. And then a game film, free access to that, we're all going to see that. So that's going to be big to watch and see. Yeah, you're not allowed to talk about it, but the reality is that that's where you got to start to evaluate number five. But even then, at the go back to what Tony's talked about, because we all kind of got ahead of ourselves last year in New York when he had a phenomenal game against the Jets, and we were like, "Wow,
you know, sit him the rest of the preseason.
Put them all in bubble wrap and let's make sure they're okay for the opener."
We might have missed that one.
You know what we're going to be saying during the preseason this year? Well, it looks good, but we'll see.
We'll see. I hope we're saying
it looks good.
I'm hoping, yeah, everything looks good and positive, but at the end of the day, at the end of preseason can fool you in a big way. Preseason can look
that.
We're all guilty and have been fooled.
That's right.
In the preseason. So out of the preseason, you might have a general idea. But then once you get to the regular season, then you're going to go, okay, now let's see what's really going to happen.
And I know we'll talk about it here, I'm sure, coming up the rest of the show, but the offensive line. I mean, tell me who your starting five is and what position.
I want to see how they start practice.
That's my point. I mean, where are they going? I mean,
we'll get to that.
But I'm saying,
yes,
but that's a,
I agree.
You know, one of the big questions.
Big question. Who plays where? Who starts where?
Where are
you
going
to
play, JP? You going to be center, right guard, or left guard?
I'm going to be in you this broadcast.
Definitely don't
right
have feet
here.
Well,
and,
tackle.
And the thing we haven't talked about, guys, is the tight end position. I love Mercedes Lewis, but this is year 10, 11, 12. What is it now? I mean,
11.
11. Yeah, a couple years ago, we thought he was done.
Yeah, but I'm not concerned about
it. No, but as far as being a dynamic part of the offense?
I think that's already been passed.
Saying it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think he's going to be a dynamic
player.
I'm not
saying
offense.
He is, but at the tight end position, is that something? Most offenses, good offenses, have something get something out of that in the passing game.
Yeah.
So Michael Rivera. That? They're counting on Rivera, I guess, a little bit, right?
Okay, Rivera, Neil Sterling.
There's a lot there. Yeah. Those are big questions.
They're questions, yes. And some would say concerns.
The other position's kind of, I don't want to say has been minimized because now you have a fullback, but it's certainly been diminished somewhat. You know, so I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting because you know what?
We really don't know.
The other thing, too, that we really haven't talked about is, and this, I think, in my mind, is one of the biggest stories heading into training camp and into the games. How will the games be called? You know, because we got an offensive coordinator who was an offensive coordinator but wasn't his offense, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a defensive coordinator who is back as the defensive coordinator, but he was running – the head coach's defense. Mm-hmm. And you also have the influence of a defensive backs coach who was a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. So how will the defense look? What kind of tweaks, changes will we see with the defense? So even though there's a lot of the same, there is going to be some differences and nuances in the way they play offense and the way they play defense. And I can't wait to see what they are.
And just overall game management could be a little different feel with Doug Marone making the calls on the sideline. In certain situations. Hey, let's come back.
We are going to come back.
We're going to delve.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. We're going to delve into this offensive line, and Tony is going to figure it all out for us.
I doubt it.
June 22nd. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is presented by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay and play. Daly's Place open for business this weekend. Saturday night, Rise Against and Deftones. Next week, Diana Ross. Wednesday, June 28th. Tickets at daly'splace.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
This is June. Real time started in July. Right now, I'm working myself to get back in shape. I got a lot of work, you know, but it's not my fault. I ran a conditioning test yesterday. I came in yesterday off a plane, so I'm not making no excuses. I'm just happy to be out here with the guys, learning. Happy I'm way more healthy than I felt the last few years, and I'm just happy to be here.
Brandon Albert, during mandatory minicamp, it became mandatory, so he arrived.
Not stupid. You're not going to give away money.
What is it, like $60,000 a day for missing?
I think it starts off at like 20, right? And then 40, and then 65-7. So it escalates up to where it averages about almost 40.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Logman. Good to see you guys again. It's been a little while. Offensive line, Brandon Albert is going to be the left tackle for the
football team. No, he's third team.
13.
That's what I saw. Are we allowed to say that?
I don't think so. I don't know. But maybe you have some breaking news there.
I do remember.
Are we not allowed to say what we saw on the field? Wait a minute. It was open. Wasn't it open?
It was reported that he was 13.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Okay, you're safe.
Yeah, I thought, I just wanted to
say. By the way, do you remember going back to 1995 when Schmenge, Loggeman, and Pritchett showed up late for training camp and what team we were on?
Yeah, yours were whatever last
13.
Team.
Third, fourth team.
I remember when I got drafted here. We were an expansion team, and I was the second overall pick, first pick ever. I mean, I didn't really care. I showed up. I said, "You're with the third team, behind."
It was who was
Novak was the one left that was one.
Yeah, but it was Bruce.
No, Bruce is the right tackle because he came in later. But it was, I'm like,
really? Okay.
And so it's like one of the guys like, listen, just you're gonna start. But go through the deal. So I was third team until
I was loving third team. I was like wearing those
dominating.
Oh my god!
Sure, yeah. Not even fair.
It was like going and playing against.
It was actually
easier
for me too to start a camp.
I bet
because
it was.
We had the backup. I was working against the backup.
Yeah, guys that I don't even remember their name.
I don't either. That's how bad it was. So yeah, but I mean, I thought it was. I get why you do that. You send the message like, okay, everyone's gonna earn.
You gotta earn it.
Spot there, which is fine. I think unless he just, pees down his leg and forgets how to block people, he's going to be your starting left tackle.
Well, he shows up at 350.
Right, and he admitted that he was just not in football shape yet, not totally there. You get on the field for the first time, it's a little different, the heat and all that.
The reality is that, out of 10 years in the pros, I tried to get in great football shape.
It's impossible, I think.
You just can't do it. I mean, until you get out there and actually do football drills and do football activities, you don't get into football shape.
You notice they call it football shape.
Yes.
That means you can't get it running on the beach or that's running correct. Sprints or mm-mm. doing anything else because that's not football. Football shape is because you play football. And so, and by the way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he's in football shape or not. The one thing that was good, he didn't show up and he wasn't 500 pounds. He looked good. His body looked fine. He moved fine. So guess what? As long as he shows up in training camp and isn't 500 pounds, he'll be your starting left tackle. And I'll argue all day long that Cam Robinson will be your left guard.
Okay.
And so Linder will be your starting center. And A.J. Cannon will be your right guard. And J.P. Parnell
right.
will be your right tackle. That's what's going to happen. I don't care where they start day one of training camp. That's where they're going to end up.
I'm dying to see it, though, because you know what?
You're going to have guys mixing and matching and during camp. That's how that works.
Well, because you know what?
Right?
I mean,
you can't mix and match too much. Jeff said this before. You
got to let them focus in on
you gotta get five guys
on Leonard
together.
Roles. You know, you got to let them kind of get comfortable. But, the question, will Leonard be at center? Don't know that. I would have him at center. Will A.J. be at left guard like he was in OTAs, we guess, or right guard? I don't know. Because nobody knows. We don't know what they're thinking, And I like the idea of A.J. getting a shot to play left because do we know Cam Robinson, even though he might be one of your best five offensive linemen, but would he be your best left guard if you have, a veteran starting left tackle?
So there's
you don't know that.
Difference between your best five and your best guard.
I mean, that's what the question comes down to. I mean,
one do you want?
Look, Cam Robinson is one of your best five offensive linemen.
Easy.
But if you have, where he's not the starter at left tackle, is he then your best left guard? He's never played guard. He's been a tackle. Could he be your best left guard?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, hadn't seen
I don't it. Know. And if anybody thinks that they truly know, they don't.
No, you don't know
for
sure.
Those guys across the hall don't know either.
But that's why you give them reps.
No, I know. You're going to give them reps, but you don't know. You got to see it. You got to see it to believe it. And, look, if guys have to get their spots earned, we got to see it. I haven't seen it. And we haven't seen it yet. We'll see what happens once they get to training camp. I mean, that's an interesting question. He is one of your best five. But is he – if he's not going to be your left tackle, is he your best left guard? Is A.J. Cann going to stay on the left side? You know, and Leonard goes to right guard, or is he going to be center? To me, that's one of the most intriguing things about the start of training camp. Where will they be at the first practice when they are in pads?
And if Leonard goes to right guard, who's playing center? That's another question mark, too.
Great question.
Well, and I'm fine with some cross training and doing some monkeying around with different positions.
Yeah, but that was a long time in OTA's minicamp.
Here's my deal, and I've switched more to Jeff's side. Find your five guys and put them where you're going to play them. Let's go. They got to work together. You got to have some continuity.
You can't be dinkering in training camp anymore.
Too much. The camp's not long enough, by the way. You get one practice a day. So if you want to do it the first few days of doing some monkeying around, giving guys different looks, fine. But after that, you better have a good idea, and this is where we're going. And monkey around with guys on the second team and put them back there and give guys extra reps if you want to see where. So if you want to find out if Linder can be your is better at guard, well, guess what? Have him start with the centers.
You should know that now.
Well, yeah, you should know it. But if you're going to do it and you want to do it early, have him start with the centers and make him take the two or three reps with the right guard. Mm. But you got to get your five guys you think you're going to go with at some point. At some point early.
Where would you put Linder?
I've said all along with Cam Robinson back, I put him at center because I put Cam Robinson at left guard. He's powerful. He's big. He's athletic. I watched him on tape. He can bend. He's a better run blocker right now than pass blocker, I think.
Yeah, but don't you make the decision on Linder regardless of who's playing guard?
No. I want my best. It's too important. You got to get your guys out there who can move people who are physical.
All right, let me ask you this.
And Linder can play either right. He is the one guy in that group, in my opinion, who can excel at either guard or center.
Okay, what about right guard? For Cam Robinson,
I would put him on the left just because he's been in a left-handed stance and he's young, and he's going to be your left tackle sooner or later. So I'd leave him at left. And AJ's played right guard for 2 years in the pros now.
But not very well.
Well, I thought he played better a year ago.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that.
I thought we liked him not last year, year before. We
did.
He played well.
But did he get better last year?
No, last year I didn't think he played great. The year before, though. He was right guard. He played fine the year before.
For a rookie, he played good.
Yeah, that's my point.
Okay, but in year two.
Well, I don't think just moving to left all of a sudden he's going to get better.
Well, I'm not saying that he's going to be better, but that's where he played 51 games at South Carolina.
I don't disagree with that. I don't think as big a deal as that as you do. Or maybe you don't either. I don't think playing right or left guard is that big a deal.
And then typically with most offenses, your left guard is more of a puller, okay?
And Cam's athletic now. He can move, man.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he is athletic.
That was kind of where I was going with that.
He is an athletic dude. So while you watch the tape, he'd take guys all the way down the field chasing guys. He can move just fine.
From a guard stance?
Yes. Okay. I do believe that.
Parnell is solidified as a right tackle?
Yes.
You're not putting Cam over there just to flip him over?
No. I don't understand where this bash Jerry Parnell stuff came from.
I didn't bash him. I'm just asking a question.
He was leading the campaign.
No, but I'm saying, but you know,
JP does not bash JP.
You talk to other people. I'm not even talking about you, JP. I'm talking about the other like media people, like JP. Like somehow this narrative that JP had a bad year.
No, Jeremy Parnell, not JP Shadrick.
Well, no, Parnell. He is JP.
Yeah.
You're also JP
I'm confused there. For
JP Jeremy was leading Parnell. The campaign, the bad campaign against the other JP.
No. Yeah, that's true.
No.
That's a good point.
Doubt it.
So, that we'll see. You know, there's a lot of unknowns. Jeff's right. Maybe I'm speculating. Maybe Cam can't play left guard. I think he can. Maybe he can't. Then you have some real questions of what you do with Linder.
You got to find out pretty quick.
You do. And that's why I'd start him there.
And I think Doug Marrone said it in his press conference. He said, look, I told our guys, and this was more of his commentary towards the players, and that when you come back, you better be in shape because you're going to have to hit the ground running. There's no time for dinking around. Well, the same goes to the coaches in that scenario. When you can't be as a coach dinking around anymore. You got to let your five guys find their spot and earn their spot and get rolling.
Well, we're going to find out early, because you have 2 weeks and you have a preseason game. Well, this year – it's 10 days. You have two practices up in New England before the first preseason game. So you're going to be practicing against other guys real quick, which I'm looking forward to and going and watching that.
Because remember, what was it, last year? When all of a sudden you've got Luke Jokel and Beecham, working at left tackle, but Beecham wasn't practicing much. And then all of a sudden in the opener, you're going to throw Kelvin Beecham out there kind of to the Wolves first game. And then, all of a sudden Jokel's going to get – a full game at left guard, and he hadn't really had many snaps in training camp at left guard. And I was going, I don't know about that. Kind of.
Well, you got to do it at some point, though. When else would they have done
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, look, I mean, it's I didn't agree with it last year. You know, that's you got to let guys get comfortable. And if you've got a group that's comfortable and they're playing out of the preseason, then you play them in the regular season until somebody proves that they're healthy and ready to roll an entire game. You don't just put them out there.
Unless they're really, really, really good.
Yeah, but, yeah, but you know, they got to be really good. You know, and last year was
– That wasn't the case.
The last year, that wouldn't fall into that category.
Let's come back and flip it over. Defensive side. See what's going on with the Jags' defense.
The better side of the ball. The cerebral side of the ball.
They are the better side of the ball in this team, but they are not cerebral.
We'll break it all down, whichever side you want to call the defensive side. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I think the communication between the two has been outstanding. I think Jalen has been very open-minded to listen to some of the things that AJ has to say. They critique each other, and in the critique of each other, they're getting better with some of the techniques that we're working on. So I think it's a good combination to have together, and I think both of them will compete at the highest level with each other to be the best corner on the team.
Harry Fuel. Last Thursday, the secondary coach for the Jags, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Barry Fuel, back in the saddle in Jacksonville.
Good coach. He's a really good coach. And obviously we got a little chance to be around him when he was here a long time ago as a secondary coach. And got a Super Bowl ring with the Giants. And I think, you know what, anytime you get – two coaches on one side of the ball that have coordinator experience, I think that's very valuable. You know, Todd Walsh comes from the Seattle-based defense. Perry Fuel comes from a 4-3, so they're both rooted in the same kind of foundation, but the back end of things are a little bit different than what they're used to. And so I think it's good because I think that Perry can help Todd out and Todd can bounce ideas off of Perry. You know, look, Perry did it at a high level, the highest level you possibly can. And Todd is a young coordinator. So it's good to have that kind of dynamic on a coaching staff where you've got multiple guys that have experience doing it.
I agree. I like Perry Fuel a lot. I think he's a good coach. It's good if everybody has the humility to know their role, say their piece, take it for what it is, and understand that at the end of the day it's Todd Walsh's decision to make. That's the key. And I think Perry Fuel's that type of guy, by the way. But – you can find situations where you have too many
Chiefs.
Too many Chiefs. Too many cooks.
Indians.
Yeah, too many cooks. Gotcha. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can cause too many ideas. And if you don't have the strong leadership at the coordinator position and you try to do everything to please everybody on the staff that then communicates to the players and you become all things to everybody, that's not good. It's not good for the players.
Yeah, if you had, for example, you know, you look around the league at some of the coordinators like Greg Williams or the coordinator that's in Philadelphia, what's his name?
Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz. Wouldn't it be good to have Greg Williams or Jim Schwartz as a secondary coach on this staff with Todd Walsh as a coordinator? The egos on guys
it's
like
too
that.
Too much.
It's too big. Too big. You know, they're not going to be – you know, happy and have humility to accept they're the secondary coach because in the back of their mind, they're sitting there thinking, I can do it better. I'm a better coach than him. I can't believe I'm not the coordinator.
Well, in the uniqueness, there's a uniqueness to what this team did last year, kind of that Seattle system that Todd Walsh still runs as his base. I'm not saying that, I mean, Jeff's right. He's going to have his own mark on it, his own personality. But then you have a guy like Perry Fuel come in who isn't cut from that cloth. More of a too high, split safety look guy. And if Perry wasn't the right type of guy, which I believe he is, with humility and wasn't ready to defer, or Todd wasn't strong enough, which I think he is strong enough, and you start getting clashing ideas or situations like Jeff talked about where a guy who isn't the coordinator thinks he should be and thinks his way is better than the way they're doing it, you don't get everyone bought in. It's no different than not getting all the players bought in. All the time people talk about players need to be bought in. You know, good teams, there's about all the players are bought into the system. I agree with that. But guess what else is happening. All the coaches are bought in. And that doesn't always happen in the NFL. You get staffs all the time that look at each other and are taking sides, little snipes behind the scenes and stabbing in the back because they think they know better than the coordinator or the guy making the decision. That's key. I don't think it'll happen, but you know, it's not always a great thing to have a bunch of ex-coordinators, ex-head coaches on your staff.
Everybody wants to be one again.
That's right.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that sometimes a little bit of friction is good. I mean, you go back to some of the stories of when the Baltimore Ravens were in their heyday, when Brian Billick was the head coach. The story, you know, had Marvin Lewis on staff. Who else was it? The Ryan.
Rob
Rex Ryan.
Rex was there, yep. Jack Harbaugh. Del Rio.
John Harbaugh was there, too, I think. Del Rio was there. I mean, they had, and I don't think this has ever been reported, but the rumors are they had fist fights.
Mike Smith was on that staff.
Smitty was there. They had fist fights in their coaching staff meeting.
Okay, but
nice.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Jeff, everyone talks
awesome.
About, okay, look, at that worked.
Worked
I mean,
out.
You
want to
know it worked?
Hit
you had Ray Lewis, Peter Boulware, Michael McCrary, yeah. Tony Siragusa.
Best defense
I mean,
in the
Jimmy's and Joe's,
I mean,
baby.
Give me a break. Darren Sharper is a Jamie Sharper is a linebacker. I mean, they
were good.
Sam Adams.
Wasn't so good.
I mean, they had a defense. Rod Woodson. I mean,
one of the great defenses ever.
It's a Hall of Famer.
Do they have a quarterback?
Who cares? You have that group. Hey, Tony Banks threw 5 touchdowns against us. Let's not forget.
Who did?
Tony Banks.
Did he really?
Yes, 5.
He probably should
have. That was the greatest defense scoring-wise ever, and we scored 34 points on him that year as an offense.
That's right.
And lost.
Lost the game.
In one game. What did we score on him the other game?
10, I think.
What the hell happened to that game?
They figured it out. You want to know what the difference was? The only difference was this. They stopped being arrogant, saying they're going to play their single high safety look and put one guy over on Jimmy.
Yeah, it didn't work out so good.
Because the first time they tried
Jimmy
to
have 200 and what?
280 yards.
Yeah, 287.
Like, if you were going to cover him man-to-man, because we could protect up front,
Yeah. We're
going to kill you. And finally they said, maybe we shouldn't do that. We'll take Jimmy away and make them go somewhere else. And we weren't quite as good. But how do you lose a game to the best defensive ever when you score 34 points? You know how you do it? You give up 5 touchdowns to Tony Banks.
Give up 35.
Right. Yeah,
I
have to go back and watch the film on the pass rush on that.
All I remember is
standing back there
playing. No, you were. It was 2000. Yeah. All I remember.
Good. What the hell's wrong with that defense?
All I remember is Shannon Sharp running down the seam over and over again, and none of the safeties decided. As Kevin Hardy was chasing down the seam, and no one over the top to help. And
Hardy's back of his jersey might have gotten a little bit of exposure in that game.
Not good.
That guy was good, man. Sharp.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, he was good.
Hall of Famer.
Great player. And talk. God, he didn't stop.
He still is.
Still does today. Still talking.
Yes.
It's paid.
That was a really good football team, though. They were fun to play.
Back to this secondary. It's for Fuel. It's a room with a lot of different personalities and experience in the league. A guy like Church, who was undrafted, who's been around for a while at a big-time team. Gibson, a free agent guy last year. And then a first-round draft pick corner who is on his way to superstardom on one side. Boyer, who's a free agent, undrafted guy who got big money. It's a lot of different guys in one room to kind of corral together.
And a couple personalities that's added to that that took shots at the coordinator before they left the building last year.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the best part. When Perry Fuel walks into that meeting room, he's wearing a ring. Right?
Sure.
When you walk into the room and you got a Super Bowl ring.
Helps.
You know, because it's kind of the same thing, you know, that was talked about in the papers with Keenan McCardell having done it and the players respect him because he played the game and he's got, I think the message is better received sometimes when it's a former player. And there's no question that when you're talking to somebody that played a position for a decade at a high level, it's easier to take the coaching. But it's also easier to take the coaching when you're being coached by somebody who has been to the top. And Perry Fuel has been to the top. And I think that helps. And Perry Fuel, I think, first of all, Perry Fuel is a wonderful coach. I think he's outstanding at working with people and personalities. I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. And the most important reason why is that when you look at who he has in that locker room, you can talk about what personalities they are and how they got there and what money they're making. You look at all, especially Boyer and Ramsey, high-level competitors. High-level competitors. Now, Barry Church, I'm not that familiar with. Deshaun Gibson, not real familiar with how high of a level of competitor he is because, you know what, last year the comments that he made, they don't reflect very well on him. It didn't, that, he does not help himself out with the comments that he made. Ramsey, you kind of push it aside and go, that young guy, you know, he's got a lot to learn.
That's not why you push it aside.
He played well, too.
You push it aside because he was dominant.
Well, he's a great player, number one, and he's
young.
But Gibson is a guy that, look, he's a veteran guy. He doesn't need to be making comments like that. He knows better.
Unless he has, like, seven or eight picks.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you can talk. And then probably not in that situation if he has seven or eight picks.
That's the way the world works.
He just needs to play. He needs to stop talking and just play. He shouldn't have said what he did at the end of the year.
We the storyline of the linebackers, that's going to be a storyline all leading into training camps.
But yeah, but you know, let me add to that because, you know, when we talk about the linebackers and it's going to be a storyline too, but Todd Walsh kind of expanded in his interview in the minicamp where he talked about how, you know, with the name change, okay, there's no longer an Otto, it's a Sam. But the important part of his conversation was he was talking about stacked linebackers, okay? In a normal under and over defense, which is a 4-3 defense, the Sam linebacker in an under defense plays a shade on the line of scrimmage right on the tight end.
Outside the tight end.
When you get to an over defense, the defensive end is now covering up the tight end, okay? And then the Sam linebacker is actually on the other side of the defense, and he can either be out, or actually he's on the same side of the defense, but he's stacked. He's behind the line of scrimmage like a linebacker, like
kind
a middle
of
linebacker.
Right behind the defensive end.
Yeah, so it's not Paul Posluszny. Okay, now he's going to play Sam, and now he's going to have to be lining up on a tight end. And I think Todd, you know, maybe let the cat out of the bag. Maybe probably they didn't want to do that, but he's talking. But the teams are going to see it anyway. They're not going to be able to hide it. Is that they're going to play that position more stacked, which is going to allow Paul Posluszny a little bit more in his comfort zone
have
of what he did as
to,
a Mike.
Yeah, sure.
You know, where, because you know what? My biggest concern, and we talked about this when they decided and announced that that position switch was going to happen, was how would Paul Posluszny deal with playing on a tight end? That would be, and I said it, that would be the most challenging thing that he had with the position switch. Because I remember going from middle linebacker, which I played in college, to an outside linebacker my rookie year in the pros. And that was the hardest thing that I had to adjust to. And so, but stacking him now, I think, makes the transition easier for Paul.
Get your wagering shoes ready here, boys, because I'm going to give you three defensive lineman names. Which one of these guys will lead the team in sacks this year? Ngakoue, Fowler, or Malik Jackson?
Do I get time to think about it during a break?
We can if you, yeah.
Let's do it when we come back, because I want to do some calculations.
Yeah, look at the schedule. See what's
going on. Give me the names again.
Ngakoue.
Yeah. Fowler. Malik Jackson.
No Calais Campbell, huh? You do want to put him on there.
You can throw Calais in there if you'd like.
Any defensive line.
I was just offering those three for suggestions.
But any.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Any. We can choose any, right?
You can choose any.
Okay.
I mean, you might can wager like a stake like you did last year on Andre.
That was 2 years ago, but that didn't work out well for Jeff.
I should have bet on the man and not the number.
Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Who will have the most sacks? And we'll go around the league when we come back. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shattuck, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. Glad you're with us. Jaguars.com, the Jaguars Twitter page, I believe, tonight. We're all back in the saddle, bearded and everything.
Yeah.
Ready to roll for the summer.
Charles,
nothing's better than a summer beard.
Trying to figure out why you have a beard, but what was your excuse?
I'm lazy. I don't want to shave.
Fair enough.
And I might go another week.
How long are you going to let it go?
I don't know. It's a great question. The longest I've ever had one, I think, is a couple weeks. Always shave it off. There's always TV or something. What about you,
Tony? You are a big star.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But what do you think, Tony?
I'm going to shave mine. I got to take family pictures, I think, the third week.
Leave it.
Who takes family pictures anymore?
Yeah. I guess us.
Do camera phones just have somebody take it?
No,
for
it's my dad.
Oh,
all the kids are getting together, and I'm going to be there for 2 days over the weekend out at his place in California in July. Mm. My family's staying the whole week, but he wants to stay, so I'll probably shave there third week of July, right before training camp.
That'll be long.
That's the next time I need
Tony's
to shave.
Dad is going to tell him to shave.
I'll shave then. That's my point.
Yes, sir. Okay. What about you, Logs?
I don't know. Whenever. Whenever I get tired of it, I'll cut it off.
We'll see. All right. The question going into break, which of these Jaguar defensive linemen will have the most sacks at the end of the 2017 season? Your first three options were Ngakoue, Fowler, or Jackson. You could also throw Campbell in there if you'd like.
I said Ngakoue. I think the number is probably close to what he had last year, 8 or 9. We'll talk about it in a second, because Jeff brought up a great point about his percentage of sacks he had versus the opportunities of sacks, which was very high. And we'll explain that in a second. But I think he's the best pass rusher. He really works at it. I think he'll have more impact in the rush game, even though his sack numbers might be the exact same. He'll get back there more, hit the quarterback more. I think he's the best pass rusher on the team.
I mean, it makes sense just because he's defensive end, and he's going to be on the field probably more than anybody as a defensive end, barring Clayce Campbell. But Clayce Campbell's going to be kicking down inside. And with Campbell and Malik on the inside, he's going to be a huge beneficiary of that. And to talk about what Tony's talking about, you know, I said during the break that, look, he may have a better year but the same number of sacks. Because, you know, 8 sacks as a rookie is a tremendous accomplishment. But they track another thing when it comes to pass rushers. You've got hits on the quarterback, you have pressures, but there's also another number that you don't see in any stat column, and it's a percentage of opportunities, and then you look at the number of sacks. So an example, Everson Griffin, and Tony brought up a great point. Mm-hmm. Everson Griffin, defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. And what, 5 sacks last year?
Well, when he came to us, he ended up with like 8 or 9.
Yeah, eight or nine.
Not many more than Ngakoue, but was one of the best defensive ends in football.
Dominant. I mean, an impact, you know, getting pressures and everything else on multiple plays. But I would say if he had, let's say he had 9 sacks, he probably, and somewhere there's this number, and I don't know who does it, but it's one of the stats companies. He probably had, I would say, close to 20 opportunities for a true sack, realistic opportunities for a sack. But he ended up not. So he's batting less than .500. Yannick Ngakoue probably had, I'm guessing, 11 or 12 opportunities, and he got 8 sacks. So he's batting .750, .800. Mm-hmm. You know, so he needs to improve, and he may improve, but that number, 8 of sacks,
might
stay the same.
Right. Cause he might end
but
up
he
more,
might have 25 opportunities.
More hits, more pressures, more disruptions.
Which means he might be a better all-around defensive end.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.